You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
All right, we haven't done this in a while, so I'm not sure he'll even remember how to do it. So this ought to be interesting. Joining me is right off his deathbed is the All Marine Radio head chef.
Good morning, Marine. Up the bad, beautiful rocket ship, up in that stratosphere. Let me hear you loud and clear. Hey, mommy O's. Hey, daddy O's. This is your astronaut, Kimbo. I'm back on the scene and the Mac machine. Go poopy doopy doo wah. Oop poopy doo. Oop poopy doo. Ooby doo booby doo wah wah wah.
So, was that your NOAA weather radio going off in the background?
No, it's I'm having my voodoo water machine cleaned.
Oh, no kidding. All right.
Kangen water. I drink this. I've got this special filter, and it's just being cleaned. And a woman comes in every 3 months and does about an hour's job on it. But I can go into another room if it's
No. I just thought you were having severe weather because it sounds that kind of sound like it was coming out of a radio, and normally that's associated in where you
and speaking of sir weather, you know, it was two above zero today.
Where?
When I woke up, and the sun's bright and shiny, wind's about 15-20 miles an hour, so that means a chill factor of way, way below zero. And it's that way for a few days, but it's only April 6th, so that's how we roll here. God help me.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
no kidding.
It's like, ice cold.
How do you roll like that? That's
very warm.
That is ridiculous, that roll, man. That is So what's the air temperature right now in North Dakota, Grand Forks?
Well, it's probably about maybe 6-8. It's going to go up to maybe 20. And if you believe the weatherman around here, it's going into the 20s. So it's warming up a little bit. They use the word warming up in the same sentence. It's warming up to 20. And then it's, but there's a wind. There's a wind still.
Yeah, that's late. I mean, but, you know, truth be told, in the history of that city, since Kim's lived there even, when was the year that it flooded, which was 1997, the city had already had record snow throughout the course of the winter, and then in the spring got more snow and then rain. And that was it. That's all she wrote. Too much.
That winter, Mac, that's one of the that winter, we had 8 blizzards, with the last blizzard coming April 8th. This coming weekend, and it dropped like a foot and a half, And when I went out to Montana to do their museum dinner, the week earlier,
that year in 97?
Yes, in Montana it was 97, and everything was getting was green out there. And then that Saturday, it started to snow and snow, and I was snowed in Miles City, Montana for 2 days, and then driving home on the interstate at about 40 miles an hour or less, all the telephone lines were snapped like twigs for about 50 miles. And, yeah, it was a serious blizzard. And I got into Grand Forks, and my whole restaurant crew was living in the restaurant because we had gas and all the electricity was out. So that, you know, they huddled around the ovens and they ate well. Let's put it that way. But yeah, it was cold.
Yeah, it's important. And, it's important when you get to this time of the year when it does begin to thaw and you've had a lot of snow, it's important that it gets below freezing at night. So that way the water gets to the river in a very deliberate kind of way. And, but these kind of temperatures, not atypical for the spring. It just sucks because you're so sick of it. It's like, I'm ready for this to be done, right?
Yeah. You can put a fork in me because I am done, except it would freeze. It would break off in me.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so tell us, so what's been wrong with you?
I had a bronchial infection that I couldn't go 2 minutes without coughing and hacking stuff up. And it went on. I went to the doctors after about a week because I, you know, being the butch guys we are, it's just a cough. I get over it. No problem. Well, in a week, I said, geez, I got to call Mac again. I can't do this. And, then I waited until the following Monday, went into the doctor. He gave me this codeine cough syrup, and it started to get better, but it was still another week and a half. I didn't start coming out of this until Monday. I have never been like this, never been down for such a long time. It just really sucked.
It's good. I don't know that since I've known you, we've never not done the program 3 weeks in a row because you weren't up to it. So I
apologize.
No, I thought we were going to get ready to hold the big party.
Oh, hell no. God, hell no. Not yet.
I thought he's
not yet, baby.
Circling the drain, baby.
Yeah. It's showbiz being knocked out like this, but, you know, you get up and you come back looking for more. More good times, actually.
All right.
Yeah, I missed the show. Everyone, whether you know it or not, and I thank Mac off the air all the time, but this is kind of like going to the shrink once a week because we laugh and carry on and talk food and whatever else we talk about, sports. And it's the highlight of my week, everyone. That's true. That's very true.
And you know what they're thinking. That's a pretty empty life you got there, bro. You might want to get out and do something about that.
Well, I would like to, and I was just, that was my next thought was, you know, you got to be pretty lame if that's all you get off on.
That is.
I'm doing all right. I'm doing just fine.
All right. Did you watch Patrick yelled at me. I was working last night, and Patrick yelled, "Dad, come here. You got to watch this." I said, "All right." And he says, Notre Dame and Michigan were playing. Notre Dame was down, I think, 2-0. They went ahead 3-2. Michigan tied at 3-3. And Notre Dame scored a goal with, I want to say, 2 point something seconds left. And
yeah.
one to go into the finals. I'm not even sure who they play in the finals, but I hope
they play Duluth.
And it's being held at it's been held in in St. Paul, Minnesota, so that's appropriate. So it'll be a home game for Duluth, and that's very, very cool. But Notre Dame, big drama last night in college hockey. For those of you who don't follow it, but anyway, the
I love seeing Notre Dame's hockey program kicking ass, now that they're in the Big Ten, they Minnesota did not even make the tournament this year. Lucia's out of a job.
Did he get fired?
I think he retired. They gave him the choice. And the St. Cloud coach took over. And they got beat by Air Force in the regionals in Sioux Falls. And Duluth got by Air Force by a one goal.
Air Force.
And then the Ohio State was supposed to win it all this year. And Duluth just, with all freshmen, and they lost five defensemen in their goalie last year. And they lost to Denver in the national title game. So they get another crack at it. And the last place that they won a national title, and that was the XL Energy Center.
Yeah, XL. St. Paul's pretty cool place. So always fun to go down there. Okay, so now today we're going to talk about a couple things. We had a little bit of brisket drama a couple weeks ago, I think. Is my friend Mike, he did a brisket and it looked like he burned it, but he said it was just a rub. And so then my friend in Montana said, why didn't you put it in foil when you were smoking it? And he says, because you never, why would you, you don't put it in foil when you're smoking it. And then the guy from Montana says, oh, I think you do. So I want to talk to you about smoking and about brisket. And then I also want to talk, you were tasked a few weeks ago with having a healthy, something healthy that tastes great. Because healthy food that tastes like caca, who needs it, right? Like, come on.
Well, I never had that problem in my life.
Yeah, so like, who would put that?
You know, everything is healthy and it can be great. And I have a few recipes of some stuff, but let's talk brisket first. And what we're going to talk about second.
Hold on, I want to talk about my vegetarian tacos. Okay.
Okay.
So I don't like chopping up the tomatoes all the time. Okay, I don't like chopping up the onions all the time. Do you own a Vegematic or do you slice that stuff all the time?
I don't have a Vegematic. I slice everything because I don't like to. What we do have, not a Vegematic, but we have a Cuisinart.
Does that chop it?
We're doing mass stuff. It slices stuff real thin, or it chops. They're different blades on that. But I personally just
Can you throw an onion in the Cuisinart and will it dice it for you?
Yes.
It will.
If you pulse it, now that means you cut it in quarters. Throw it in the chute, or just take the lid off. Quarter an onion, throw it in the Cuisinart, put the lid on, and pulse it. You hit that go stop switch, and on pulse, and just briefly. It takes like maybe 30 seconds to dice your onions. The longer
will
you
it, okay, wait, all right, hold on. Do you do it? Will it? Do the same thing with a tomato?
If you do that, yes.
Okay.
But you just have to be careful and pulse it.
Okay.
Onions, tomatoes, zucchinis, whatever, carrots,
mushrooms,
whatever you want.
Okay. So here's what I've come to. Because I don't like doing the dicing all the time. But yeah. So what I bought was I bought pico de gallo. So that's what, right? So it's
that's everything you just mentioned.
Yeah, I know. So I saw this pico de gallo stuff, and I thought, well, why wouldn't I use that, Mac? And so I bought that with a little bit of diced red onion, in case I want a little bit more onion. And so I've even simplified the vegetarian taco even more. So now all you need is you got to find, you know, you find good avocado, pico de gallo, and your favorite salsa. And for me, I put a little, and it has to be a certain kind of Thousand Islands. It's Lighthouse Thousand Islands. I did this on a whim, and I like the way it tastes. So a little bit of, I don't know, here it's called Mexican cheeses. So I think it's a little bit of cheddar, and there's a white cheese. I have no idea what it is, but I like the way it tastes. So you heat up the corn tortilla, because I'm allergic to wheat, on both sides. When it's heating up on the flip side, you put the cheese on it, and you let the cheese melt. You bomb the pico de gallo, the avocado, the salsa, and the Thousand Islands. And you got to get a little paper towel, because if you don't, because you put so much stuff into it, because it's designed to be healthy, and but also, you know, it's got to be something to eat, man. It can't be that some hors d'oeuvre bullshit. So, yeah, you're gonna have a little bit of leakage. You're gonna have a little bit of leakage on the backside. So, so now it's even easier to make, and so I'm. I just wanted to give everybody an update on Max vegetarian taco.
Well, Max, you hit the wheelhouse, because that's what I was going to recommend, buying pico de gallo. You can buy it in any store.
Buying Cinco de Mayo? Is that what you said?
No, pico de gallo.
Oh.
Pico.
Pico, you goofball. Hold on, I just got an email. Lucia has 1 year left on his contract, but he's going to serve it out as a special assistant to Gopher Athletic Director Mark Coyle. So that means Don Lucia, the former, he coached actually, he got his start at Notre Dame.
Yes.
And then he came back to Minnesota, and the Golden Gophers have won a couple national championships under him. So he's being promoted out of his current position. As a sign of respect that we're not going to send you out the door, but at the same time, we'd like to make a change and you can help us do other things. So come hang out with me for a while and we'll get somebody else in there that probably got a little bit more energy and take our program. Minnesota thinks they should win it every year, by the way. Yeah.
Well, they've always felt that. And, they got rid of Woog, I think.
When he didn't do that. And let me tell you, you could make a pretty good argument that they should, because there's a lot of really good hockey players that come out of that state. And for them not to be in the Frozen Four on a more regular basis than they are is no bueno. No good.
Yeah. And you know who was in it this year? Minnesota State, Mankato, St. Cloud, Duluth. They were all in it.
Yeah, so that's every other Minnesota school but the Gophers. That's not good. That doesn't play well in Peoria. Okay. Doesn't play well in Peoria. Okay. So let's talk about your healthy dish.
Okay.
hold on, let me read you an email. Mac, WTF ... vegetarian taco, just end it all. No, man, when you get older, unless you want to be a fat ass, I ate like a normal person, man, in their 30s ate on Sunday. I thought I was going to be sick. And I didn't even eat like a normal. I just ate like a brunch and then a dinner. And I didn't eat like seconds or anything like that. And I came home that night, I was like, oh man, like that's disgusting, all that food. So look, I'm not going to roll fat ass, right? Like I'm not going to go places and say, yeah, you see Mac? What a fat ass he's turned into? No. So
not coming from your...
Yeah, and I can't have that. I can't have that. Besides, I'm too poor to go buy new clothes. So, yeah.
One thing I want to mention about, I want to slide back to your veggie tacos. Don't serve them on a paper towel.
What?
You can buy those real cheap paper plates, about 100 in a stack for nothing. And you put tacos on those and you eat, and then it still drips. And then you have a paper towel to wipe your mouth.
Well, I do away with the plate. I wrap it. I eat it. I have to, and you are right. You are going to have to wipe your mouth the way I make the taco, because the salsa, after the pico de gallo, your favorite salsa, you line the bed with it. Yeah, and then a little bit of the Thousand Islands. And I like the
What do you have? You have rubber sleeves?
And then you can't make sure you got to get a good slice of avocado in there or two.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, sorry if you don't like it, but lump it, okay? Fatso. All right. Now, what are we going to talk about? What's healthy and tastes good that you want to talk about?
Well, you know, I'm saying as sides to have with your fish or your chicken, I love stuffed tomatoes. You take a big beefsteak tomato and you scoop out the center and make a little indentation in there, and then you can stuff it with rice, seasoned rice, however you want to season it. It could be brown rice, white rice. I prefer wild rice because we have easy access to that, and it's affordable. The rice is pre-cooked, of course.
Of course.
And then you have a 350-degree oven, and you put them on a sheet, a baking sheet, and then if you put cheese in, with your, whatever cheese you like, and mix it with your rice, and then top that mixture with a little breadcrumb, so you have a little crunch there. Or you can top it with Parmesan cheese and get a little crunch. And then bake it until that's golden brown, and then pull it out, and it goes great. And now you can do that with tomatoes. You can do the same thing with bell peppers. You know, you can red or green or yellow bell peppers. My wife loves green bell peppers. I prefer red or green. I like the sweeter flavor of those peppers, they're just out of this world with rice and cheese. And with peppers, you can also add any kind of chopped up meat if you want to go meat wise. But I just pretty veggie with that. My very favorite is you take a large meat. And you cut a V down that zucchini.
Okay, hold on. You're coming in a little bit broken. Did you say you take a zucchini?
Yeah, you take a large zucchini, depending on because they're easier to handle. If it's like a zucchini that's 2 inches long, you can cut that in 2-inch high sections, scoop out part of that section, and then stand it up on its end, and then stuff it with rice or cheese and breadcrumbs is what I like to do.
Okay.
And then bake the zucchini in the oven until the top is golden brown.
Okay.
Or you can do it lengthwise if it's a smaller zucchini and
okay.
Like do both.
Can I ask you a question? So you don't partially heat the zucchini and then scrape it and make the V in it. You cut the V into it before.
Yes. If you're going to use make zucchini boats.
Okay.
But if you know, in the end of summer when the zucchinis are the size of, you know, 6 to 12 inches long and about 2, 3 inches around, that's when you want to cut them in sections, set them up on one end, scoop that out, and then fill it with whatever filling, you know, rice or cheese and breadcrumbs, and then bake it, because you want to heat that what's in the center. And if there's cheese in there, that melts, and it's absolutely colorful on the plate. It makes for a great side dish. You have your veggie, and if you're using rice, you have your carb, and very healthy carb, and then your fish. I prefer fish with this these side dishes, but chicken works just as well. And we eat a lot of chicken here. We don't eat much meat, if any at all, recently. We're like, I'm like you anyway. I don't have your gorgeous figure, but, I'm working on mine. Those are things, that are real cheap. They look gorgeous on the plate, easy to fix. You can cook your rice the day ahead. Pull it out about an hour before you stuff things so it warms up a little bit to room temperature. There you go. And you have at it. That's just personally, what we like to do. And another thing is, you can take cherry tomatoes, spinach, zucchini, onions, green onions, any kind of hot peppers or regular peppers like red bell peppers. You dice them up, you saute them all together, and then you have this mixed vegetable side dish. And, you can do that with a chicken breast on the side or, if you want to do a pico de gallo sauce on top of the across the chicken breast or, a pico de gallo, excuse me. It takes not much effort, and if they're colorful plates,
We don't care about colorful. We just care about taste.
Well, everything I make tastes great.
All right.
And because I have to have food, I can't eat pablum. It's just not my DNA. I like food that tastes good, man. You know me.
All right. So now we want to switch gears and we want to talk a little bit about brisket.
Yes.
Talk to me. Talk to me about, I want to talk about the foil thing, because, when smoking brisket, I mean, that's slow cooking, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Low and slow and a long time.
Right.
Minimum 4 to 5 hours.
Okay, so why would you then put it in foil? Is it because you have the heat too high?
For beer, then.
Yes.
Okay.
I've never heard that. I've seen it on TV where after it's been gone, going for about 8-10 hours,
right,
the last hour or so, they'll wrap it in foil or butcher paper to keep the moisture in. But what I would recommend as a compromise between wrapping it in foil and just throwing it on the grill. And I'm talking a gas grill. And this is the best way to do it unless you have a big green egg like you do. Otherwise, they have smokers that have these little pellet machines that do indirect heat, and they feed it into this hopper that keeps the heat steady. That's and lots of smoke. But for me, I would take your brisket, which could be anywhere from 4 to 6, 8 pounds, depending on the size, the whole brisket. You rub it, and you marinate it overnight, and then you sit it in one of those foil pans that have sides on it, and you put it over the indirect heat. You preheat your grill to 250 degrees max, 220 to 250, and you have one burner on. You start them all on high, all your burners, and then you turn, if you have two burners, you turn one of them off. If you have three, you turn maybe two of them off, and if you have four, you turn two of them off. And you create your heat, and then you turn the burners off, then you put the brisket in this foil pan. You do not cover it, and the fat side is up. The fat side is up. And this, what's going to happen is over a long period of time, you're going to get this, it's called bark. And it is black. And it's, but it doesn't affect the meat. In fact, the bark is very good. And you'll see when you cut into it, you'll see a smoke ring that's a little pink inside. And what you do is you rub that brisket all over, thoroughly rub it, massage it in, whatever your rub mix is. And that's personal.
Right.
And it's actually very personal.
Very
and
personal.
And you pull it out. The meat has to be at room temperature. Don't forget, we always cook at room temperature product. You put it in this foil pan. You sit it on the indirect burner, the burner that's turned off. You take a wood chip.
Wait. Okay. I thought you said you never heard about using the foil. And now all of a sudden we're doing foil.
You're not listening to me, Mac.
Okay.
I said you do a foil pan. A foil pan. So the juices run into the pan and not in
to the fire.
To the heat. Yes.
Okay.
And it, it,
so did so add, wait a minute. So did I mishear you when I heard somebody say that I've never heard of using foil?
Well, no, you didn't mishear it, because people use foil because they want to cook brisket a little faster. And I'm sure it works. And if the Montana man works for him, then it works. It's just nothing I would do because
okay.
I want the smoke. And you have this little packet of aluminum foil that you make, and you put about 4 cups of wood chips, 2 to 4 cups of wood chip that have been soaking for an hour in water, and then you wrap it in this foil, and then you put that foil packet right on the heat, direct heat, and that'll burn the wood, and there'll be a little opening in your foil. You don't crimp it too tight, but you crimp it so just the bottom is tight, and then a little room for the smoke to get out, and that's what the smoke does in your brisket.
Okay.
And that goes for It depends on the size of the brisket.
Okay. No, we just had a little controversy over the foil thing. In that you had Mike saying that I've never heard of cooking, you know, putting brisket, you know, and so to me it sounds like if you have the heat right, you shouldn't need to put it in foil, or you said if you want to cook it quicker, you can go ahead and do that. So I guess there's different cooking techniques. It doesn't make it necessarily wrong, eh?
No, absolutely no wrong.
Because see, I wanted one of them to be wrong.
Okay, well then I would say cooking with foil is wrong.
No, but there.
That's what you want to
hear. There's the different techniques to achieving.
That's what I would do.
To achieving the same end. Okay. All right. You know what? I can live with that, and it sounds reasonable, because we were having a little bit of an argument about that. Okay. Now, what else are we talking about today?
Well, I sent you a brisket, a braised brisket.
Okay.
That is cooked in an oven. Pictures in the recipe.
Okay.
And it involves a glaze. And by the way, with this brisket in your grill, the smoker grill, if you want to baste it the last hour or so, then you have a mop and you brush it with a basting liquid and to finish it off.
Okay.
And then, what I sent you was the pan that you cook your turkey in.
Yes.
With the V-rack.
Yes.
Well, you're going to use that pan because the brisket will be 6 to 8 pounds.
Okay.
And in this recipe, you cut that brisket in half across the grain.
Okay.
You never cut brisket with the grain.
All right.
Because you'll just get strings and they'll be chewy. You cut brisket across the grain when you serve it and then you put it, you rub it, you brown it on both sides, the first side down at least 5-6 minutes or so. It's all in the recipe. I'm just going to gloss over this. And it's something you can do in the oven. It's not smoked, but it's got a rub, and then there's a mop with a mixture of jam and peach jam and bourbon.
And that's all in the recipe?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
It is.
Peach jam and bourbon. Hello.
Yeah, you make the sauce with the peach jam, and you cook the brisket after you do the sautéed vegetables, and then you lay the brisket in the pan to cover the top tightly with foil.
Tightly with foil.
And then you bake it at 350, which is unlike the smoking it. It's about 100 degrees hotter when you do this.
Okay.
And double foil, and you tightly wrap it around and do not peek, and it'll go 4 to 5 hours maybe, and it comes out and it's tender and moist, very succulent, and it'll have a bark on it, and you crisscross that fat so the marinade gets in there, but you could always cook brisket with the fat side up, not down, because that fat matriculates through the brisket and creates that tenderness. Because otherwise, it's just fiber. That's why you don't cook brisket fast, because you end up with a piece of shoe leather if you cook brisket too fast in a short period of time. The reason people buy brisket, it's a very tough cut of meat, and that's why it has to be cooked low and slow. And in this case, it's a little hotter, but it's still tightly covered. And then that last hour or so in the recipe, you'll see where you take the foil off and you brush the glaze on top and then put it back in the oven and finish it off. It's a great dinner. Good in cold weather.
in any weather. I didn't realize people were so fanatical about brisket. Holy smokes.
Very much so, because if you ever watch a cooking show, usually each region of the country has their version of the best brisket in the world.
Right.
Pretty much it started in Texas on cattle drives doing brisket, but that's another story.
No, you know what? I find those stories really interesting because, you know, when you historically, you know, how did these things become popular dishes? Well, most of the cuts of meat were cheap, and they were leftover. For instance, tripe, and we talked about chicken feet. Right, and collard greens and ham hocks and all these different ethnic dishes that taste so good. You know where they came out of? They came from poor people. They didn't come from rich people. They came from poor people because they were the parts that were not being eaten. And so I always love the history of food and how food evolves, because it normally does come from the ethnic poor sections of a town that uses spices and whatnots to turn something that isn't very delicious, you know, right out of the bag into something that when you say brisket, people stop. Like, what? You're cooking brisket? Let me have a little bit of that.
Because if it's cooked properly, people go nuts.
I'm going to ask you a stupid question. I've never asked this before in all the years I've known you. What does the term braised mean? It's obviously a cooking term, braised brisket.
Braised, no, it's not a stupid question. Braised is when you cook something in moisture and it's covered, whether it's a pot that has a lid, or something like the pan that holds your turkey that you have to cover with double foil, and you cover that, and then you have this particular recipe has two bottles of dark beer, could be a porter, could be the Irish beer, Guinness. It depends on your taste in dark beers. And that's a braising liquid. And then it steams and braises the meat. And that's what braising is. Okie doke?
Yeah, no, okie doke is good.
That was a great question. That was... Shame on you for saying that.
Well, no, because when I think of brisket, I think of somebody smoking it.
That's why I wanted to use this recipe today.
Okay, so that's something that people can do year round, and so just so everybody knows, if you go to the All Marine Radio website, the newly designed and beautiful All Marine Radio website. If you go to show notes and then you go to Cooking with Kimbo Recipes, right? If you look in there for braised brisket, you'll see three things. You'll see page one of the recipe, you'll see page two of the recipe, and then you'll see a picture of it complete. So that's what you'll see. So those are up there right now. Actually, I'm just finishing. I'm just finishing naming them right now.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
I've got an email question for you. Go ahead, make your point, and then I'll ask you the email question.
No, go ahead. I was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely perfect.
All right. Email question. Does Kim ever cook Oriental foods? I love stir-fried dishes with all sorts of veggies, but I struggle with coming up with sauces for those dishes. Does Kim cook Oriental-style dishes very often? If he does, how does he come up with various sauces for those dishes? Stir-fry, very popular.
You know, I used to do it. Beth and I used to do it a lot. But with various allergies, you can go to an Asian grocery store, and to make good stir fries, you probably need soy sauce or a fish sauce,
hoisin
is a Chinese. Sweet, thick sauce. I love hoisin sauce. And you mix all that together if you want. Curries. You can add a curry. But the Chinese sauces are absolutely fabulous. And we have an Asian grocery store here in town. And they have all kinds of hot sauces. They have a sweet chili sauce.
Ooh.
That is out of this world.
Yeah, how can you not find sauces? They're everywhere. I mean, one of the exploding parts of even I know this from going shopping, and I'm a dope.
Yeah.
But you know, if you go into the sauce section of foreign foods, I mean, from foods for sauces with Spanish food to barbecue sauces to the Asian sauce rack. I mean, there's nothing but sauces.
Well, I think the problem with that email person was that you look at all these sauces, you know, what the hell do I do with them?
You eat them.
Yeah, you do. But how do you mix them together? Soy is usually the salt component. Fish stock gives you a base and a saltiness and a very mild fish flavor. It's not a stinky sauce unless you gulp it out of the bottle. But it's things that you mix together. This red chili, sauce is kind of, looks like a syrup. But it has red chili flakes in it. You can't miss it. There's a sweet and a mild and a hot. But yes, and Chinese mustard, you know, wasabi is the big deal with Japanese food. Well, I would take, they have dry mustard in the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I would take it. And you can mix it with water. I prefer to use a little beer and make my mustard. And you can, the amount of beer depends on how thick or thin you want your mustard. And it's hot. Capital H, capital O, capital T.
Hot.
And I love that Chinese mustard heat. It has a whole distinct flavor from chilies. Or Mexican, salsas or whatever, or today's big on hot sauces, but Chinese mustard is one of the all time greats. And then, you know, when we used to go to this one Chinese restaurant in New York City, you'd order a dish and they give you a little dish of Chinese mustard. And a little dish of plum sauce.
Yeah.
Plum sauce. Plum sauce. Sweet sauce. And you say maybe you have a little spare rib and you take that rib and you rub a little in the mustard and then in the sweet sauce and you're in the front row. It's delicious. It's absolutely out of this world. And I highly recommend exploring an Asian grocery section. You will see all kinds of rice noodles and noodles and rice wraps like wonton wrappers. I used to do that a lot. I actually prefer Chinese food, but you got to be careful. They have low sodium soy sauce now, which is, you know, instead of 400 per portion, it's like 60. So I have to be careful and pay attention to what type of soy sauce is it, the low sodium. My gosh, especially, you know, living in near an Asian community, you're in the front row there. And even like there used to be a huge Asian population in Butte, Montana, because they would come in and work the copper mines. And there are nothing but tunnels underneath the city of Butte.
Right.
And they had huge Chinese population. And I've had some great Chinese food in Butte, Montana. So, and they're everywhere. So, knock yourself out and go explore. Because that's the fun of cooking is figuring things out and inventing things yourself. You know, what do I like to eat? Well, how would this taste together? And I love bok choy and Napa cabbage. Are you kidding me? You saute that stuff? You're in heaven. Just great. Absolutely great. In fact, I used to serve baby bok choy as the vegetable at Sanders. And I'd get it in these crates, you know, 48 bok choy heads in it. And just good stuff. Very good.
Well, first of all, it's nice to hear your voice after almost a month. I'm glad you're on the mend. Good luck with the weather. And as always, we appreciate your expertise. But more than anything, it's nice to hear your voice again.
Well, I tell you what, Mac, it's great to hear your. I love this show, as you know, as I said at the top of the show. I'm excited to see what I'm going to get put together for next week after I talk to the maestro himself later this weekend. And one other thing is watch TV and watch the Duluth Bulldogs play the Notre Dame Irish and for the national title in collegiate hockey. The Frozen Four finale tomorrow evening, 6:30 my time, Central Time.
4:30 Pacific and 7:30 Eastern. So there you have it. You'll hear Barry Melrose, I think, doing on there as well. So, all right, sir. Thank you very much for the visit. Tell Miss B thank you very much for the pictures, and I will talk to you.
You're welcome. Take care, brother.
There you have it. The first time in a month. And kind of interesting with the with the brisket thing. So, but it's good to hear the big man's voice. Yeah. Like I said, I never have had that happen where he has not been around for that long. So, anyway, brisket. So now we have our answer to brisket. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the Gunner should be joining us as we continue here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. So whatever you do, don't touch your dial. Just hang out here, and we'll be right back.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.